Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to On the Dean's List, a podcast that celebrates the art of conversation with your host, Dean Latticer.
Thank you, George. Good morning, everyone. You are on the Dean's List. I'm your host, Dean Latticer. We're celebrating the art of conversation today, and I'm really looking forward to this show. In my own responsibilities, I have worked with many people to get their brand, get their name, get their expertise out there. And when you see somebody who just does it so well, you want to have them in so we can talk about our common experiences and, most importantly, give you the wisdom, the insights, and the tools to really move your career forward. Lynn Cadence is my guest on the Dean's List, and we're going to talk about crafting and mastering your platform. A little bit about her. She's a public relations strategist, publicist, and coach for authors, publishers, and aspiring writers. And she's going to help us as business professionals and experts in our field to develop our abilities in order to capture our messages, present it to audiences, and promote our own expertise. Some of these strategies will help us to rise up from the crowd and connect with our audiences, our influencers, and peers. And from understanding the scale and scope of developing our platform to creating the supporting social media around it, Lynn's going to take us on a journey of personal and professional self-mastery. Now, she's got 25 years' worth of experience promoting books, book publishers, authors, and other influencers. And she just has a wealth of experience, which I'm looking forward to tapping into, and I hope you are too. So from Calgary, Alberta, joining us this morning is Lynn Cadence. Good morning, Lynn. Thanks for taking time for us.
Good morning.
Yes, I am thrilled to have you here. And I know that you teach this in seminar, you counsel your clients on it. We've used a term in the title as well as in the introduction here about somebody's platform. Tell me, why don't you give us what your definition is of a platform and kind of set the stage for us to be able to use this powerful tool and mindset?
Sure. A platform is what you build to help you to rise above the din so that you can connect with your audience and your influencers and your peers. So for some people, it's more about personal connection and the local scene. For some people, it's more about social media and an international scene. It really depends on who your audience is, your strengths, and what exactly you're trying to do.
So it sounds like it could be complicated, and yet done well, like a platform holds something, it really would be the base for us in order to grow both personally and professionally, especially if we're an author or if we're an expert in our field and such. What do we need to do together? It sounds like we've got to kind of draw some different resources in. We can't just sit there and say, hey, I'm the greatest guy or greatest gal at. What do we need to do to plan this out right from the beginning?
Well, I think planning is really key, and it needs to be done in great detail so that you can plan and measure your effects, evaluate and change, and continue to grow on an ongoing basis. For a lot of people, that means a business plan to start with, even if you're not going after money to support your business. Having a strong, complete business plan can help you really get to where you're going and make money doing it. For some people, they already have that in place, and what they need is a more developed marketing plan. Or it could be a social media plan or a publicity campaign plan. Whatever it is, you need to, whatever level you're at, you need to be able to, the more planning you do, the more success you're likely to get to.
In your work, you work with a lot of authors and experts and leaders in their field. Help us to know, how do we decide? Because not everybody's going to be a good fit as an audience for us, or help us to tailor and focus our message. What things should we be thinking about as we're putting this plan together, especially our plan to speak?
I'm not quite sure what you mean about your plan to speak.
Well, we've talked about planning, we've talked about business planning, but just kind of help us, you know, again, help us to think about, because I've worked with a lot of speakers over the years, people like Les Brown, Michael Wickett, a lot of people, and, you know, people see them up on stage and say, oh, my God, I can do that. I could rally the troops and stuff. But I really think that you talk about marketing plans and plans to go out. So tell us some of the things that you think we should be thinking about as we put this together,
This planning together. Well, I think what you're trying to do is develop public speaking as part of your work, it takes a lot of work. And for a lot of people, a good start is Toastmasters. Toastmasters teaches a lot about public speaking. Here we have CAPS, the Canadian Association of Professional Speakers, and they teach about the business of speaking. So there's two aspects. One, you have to be a really good speaker, and then you have to figure out how to get yourself out there. And neither is easy. Both take some commitment and dedication to get there, but can be a very, very important part of a platform.
Mm-hmm. You work a lot with authors, and I think that's something near and dear. Mm-hmm. My wife calls herself a bibliotherapist, where she helps people to find good books for insights and such. And for 3-4 years, we ran an artisanal publishing company ourselves with mixed results. I say it this way. The problem with a lot of people, they want to be authors, they want to write books, but their attitude is, well, I'll show up on the day of the marathon with my new tennis shoes on, and then I'll just run all flat out, and it doesn't work. So tell us about that. That seems to be an interesting, with digital short-run publishing, with e-publishing and such, there really is a lot of opportunities to get your message out. So talk about that and give us some of your takes on the where you see both the industry as it is today and where you see things going.
I think there's been a lot of very exciting growth in the publishing industry, particularly in digital publishing. And it's true now anyone has access to being published. You don't really need very much. However, you need to be really sure that people want to hear what you have to say and that it is polished before it gets out there. The more unprofessional writing that is dropped on us, the more difficult it is to really find the work that's worthwhile. And if what you're trying to do is promote your business through your writing, then it needs to be, you need to think about it carefully and be sure that you're saying the things that people need to hear, that fills a need, and that you've done the best possible writing job. And there are lots of resources out there to get help with your writing. There are writers in residence who will look at your work for free, small pieces of your work to help you get started. There are lots of courses. There are coaches. There are online courses. Lots and lots of possibilities to perfect your writing and be sure that you've done the best job possible before you get it out there.
I agree that there's a lot of mediocrity out there, that a lot of people... my wife was looking at a project. It was a former photographer who wanted to go and be an inspirational speaker, and he didn't want to pay for the editing. He said, you know, I speak in this stream of consciousness style. Why would I want people to see anything less? And our opinion was that you still have to – writing is different than speaking. You can speak in injections and clauses all you want, but we read based upon the discipline of the English language or the French language or German or Russian or whatever we're reading in. So you have to kind of pay homage to those. You might be able to break the cadence in a paragraph, but the whole work has to work. And he found somebody who published his book for him and did it his way. And I talked to some of you who read it, and they said it was a D-plus effort at best. One of the things that you talk about also is content marketing, helping people, and kind of that short one, blogging or using things. I use the platform Quora a lot to get my writing out because it lets me be kind of short bursts and topical. Talk about content marketing. Mm-hmm. Talk about ways that we can use these tools to introduce ourselves and cut through the clutter in social media.
Right. And so you also use podcasting, which is a platform that people can use, which is terrific. And it really depends on people's strengths. Writers, of course, have an advantage in that they are good at writing. So often they can be great headline writers, which is a big boon for social media. You can write a great headline. You can write a great Twitter pitch and a blog post, short blog post. So those are, for writers, blogging is often the first go-to. And
you've got some fun tools there also that people can use if they're trying to grow their writer's muscles. Talk about some of the things that you've discovered, because I learned a couple of things from you. You had sent me some notes, and I thought, wow, that's some of those things I thought was really interesting. Talk about some of the tools, because I find a lot of people get kind of white knuckle and say, well, I don't want to put it out there. What if they don't like me?
Yeah. Well, there are tons and tons of tools. There are two bloggers that I think are really worthwhile following and looking at. One is Copyblogger and the other is ProBlogger. And they both have tons of information they're putting out every day that is very worthwhile and helpful to keep your inspiration up. There are also some online tools that are quite fun. So Content Ideator or HubSpot's Blog Topic Generator. One that's particularly fun is Headline Analyzer. So if you go to CoSchedule and you start typing in your title, it will give you a grade and tell you what you should do to fix title. And so all of these tools are designed to help you infuse a little more emotion and to use the kind of titles that people respond to, the 10 ways to do this, the how to something. If you go to Portent, they will show you different structures of headlines that tend to get the most attention. And in the process, give you titles that will give you ideas of things that you could write about. It's quite fun.
I think that that's an important thing that a lot of people, they start out hot out of the box. Whether it's a book idea, whether it's doing a newsletter or doing blog posting, and obviously you've got that great reservoir of ideas. And then what happens mm-hmm. is, okay, the reservoir drains. And I think part of the self-nurturing mm-hmm. of being a communicator is you have to listen when other people speak, or you have to be able to embrace ideas that people share and say, yeah, what would be my perspective on this? Or what was it they said? Example in my own world was my daughter is finishing up university, and she was this past weekend she received her cord for her honor society, and they had two keynote speakers there. And it was interesting because I was listening to one of the keynote speakers in her summary statements, and suddenly I reached into my pocket and I pulled out a note card because she was saying some things that I wanted to either blog or do my newsletter on. And I don't think enough writers and I don't think enough communicators listen to the world around them. They're looking, but you have to hear what other people are communicating. And her wisdom may be great if you're climbing the corporate ladder. My daughter's degree is in human resources and development. But I was thinking about mm-hmm. some of the things the speaker was saying in terms of entrepreneurs and solopreneurs and people who are their business. And she was talking about listening and taking feedback. And I'm thinking, well, And I was kind of playing mental volleyball with it, hitting it back and forth. I think one of the things we need to do as bloggers, as communicators, and even ultimately as authors, is that ability mm-hmm. to hold that mirror up to our world, and what are people saying, how are people reacting, and how can we interpret why does this matter?
Absolutely. And you can get your inspiration from all sorts of places. One of the advantages of the internet is it's an endless sea of resources which keep on coming in. If you have an idea of the topics that you are most looking at, you can set yourself up a system, like, for instance, with Feedly, where you've got your influencers, you've chosen certain blogs that you want to follow, certain ideologues that you find really important who are changing the game in your field, and follow them every day, follow them every week, and respond, react, think about what they have to say, and have those discussions through your social media, so that you are using, developing that muscle, really, your thought processes about what's going on in your field and what other people, responding to what other people have to say and feel about it. Often those are the beginnings of blog posts or podcasts or whatever your chosen media is.
I think one of the things that you advocate is what we call lead magnets, lists building, and opportunities to have, short bursts of your mastery. I know a friend of this show, Rosh Sillers, is doing. He's a professional photographer, and he also does digital marketing, and he just put out a list of what photographers should charge, because it was his first mastered competency. And it's funny, just watching the world beat a path to his door. He put together a little special report on it. The Professional Photographers Association here in the States, he did an online seminar about it yesterday. And the reason I bring that up is I think those sort of things are important. He and I were joking about how this has become his equivalent of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Because once a year he'll do this little report, and suddenly it creates so much awareness of who he is, where he is in the marketplace, and stuff like that. Same as SI, well, obviously it's cold when they put that out in February, and, it's probably a low sports activity week the week between the Super Bowl and the playoffs and the basketball and hockey playoffs haven't started. And I think talk about that kind of list building or that kind of exercises that people can put together to really share their wisdom and get audience engaged. Because if you're not engaging your audience, if they aren't liking the things you do or wanting more, I think that's the hard road to hoe. So talk about a little bit about that, if you would, for us.
Sure. The idea with the lead magnet is to give people something of value that is of interest to them, like your friends list. And one of the things that seems to do extremely well is best sources of free images. People are always looking for images for all of their social media, and you are trying to expand your horizons on that. So the idea is, what is worth it for the exchange of their email address? So, sure, I'll give you my email address if you give me 25 best free sources of photos. Or mine is a PR toolkit, which has some of these ideas in it from my website. And other people will use a little ad, a visual ad on Facebook for click here for a free something. And you go there, give them your email address, and they, in return, get free resources that are the connection point between you and your audience. What are the things that will fulfill their particular need? And people are quite clever about it. Sometimes it's an ebook, sometimes it's 100 pages, sometimes it's a list. It doesn't have to be a huge thing. And sometimes it's something people become known for, and sometimes it rotates. So this month it's the PR toolkit. Next month it's 10 best uses of Facebook advertising, or 25 tools for productivity, or your Twitter applications that will optimize your Twitter list.
Lynn Cadence is our guest this morning. We're talking about crafting and mastering your platform, and I think that's so important for a lot of the people who listen to On the Dean's List, because they are platform creators and they have mm-hmm. things they want to say. And Lynn and I have had just a delicious conversation here in trying to share both the mindset and practical tools and strategies here. One of the things you advocate I find interesting is a mini social media makeover. Oftentimes I think people's accounts get kind of stale, or they're posting too much Me Too, and Lord knows the world doesn't need another collection of cat memes. But that idea, talk about what we should look at our tools with a critical eye and how we should maybe make a reality check, because one of the things about social media is it's dynamic. I have a 15-year-old, and they're talking a lot of the criticisms they're having with YouTube right now. That's kind of the back door of YouTube Red, that the purity of the community is being sacrificed for these folks who are just, like, subscribe, comment. You know, it's a lot of the younger demographic who use that. But help us to look at our own social media accounts with maybe a little critical eye and saying, you know, help me to do this better, Lynn, because, again, you know, the world is our platform here. How can we make sure we're putting on our best face?
Exactly. And I had the terrifying experience one day of looking. I Googled myself on someone else's computer. I can't remember why, but something came up, and I think I was trying to show them something. I Googled myself, and what came up was not what came up on my computer. So I was horrified about some old things that were there that I didn't mean to still be up. And I had to go to quite a lot of work to get rid of them, to change the perspective that was left. So it's important to Google yourself from time to time to see what's there. You may have forgotten that you had started some kind of account or another that was an experiment and is now outdated and makes it look like something terrible might have happened to you in the process, or that you're just completely careless. So there's that. And also, are your profiles as good as they might be? So to just go back in and look at, from Google, all of your various accounts with a fresh eye, and to just do it from time to time and look at it and say, oh, is that how I want to be reflected? Is that how I want Google to see me, and all of the other people who are using Google to see me? And it's sometimes surprising. It's like, you know how you're sitting at the kitchen table and somebody's coming over to visit, and you thought the place was perfectly acceptable, and then all of a sudden, oh, this person is coming over. My, I best tidy this or put away that. It just in that moment changes.
You're walking
your
down the hallway
perception,
and then suddenly you see something right next to the restroom. Like, well, it's probably good that I put this in the spare bedroom or something.
Right, exactly. And you hadn't noticed it. You hadn't noticed it over the course of the day, but suddenly you're looking at it with someone else's eyes, and it changes the landscape altogether. So just, and also we change, right? So perhaps your business has changed perspective a little bit, or you've forgotten to add your latest blog posts to something that have changed how you think about your business. So if you go in, make sure that the information is complete and up to date, that your LinkedIn profile has pictures and latest projects and maybe something that people can download from SlideShare to get a much better picture of what you're about, or that better describes your services, those kinds of things. Make it more interesting. Keep it fresh. And also it keeps you interesting and fresh if you do that.
In the time remaining, tell us, I'm sure you've sparked a lot of thoughts in people, a lot of great ability. Tell us the ways that we can be current with you. I know you and I connected on Twitter, and I think that's a great platform for you. But if we want to talk to you, mm-hmm. if we've got projects that need your expertise on it or ideas, how do we interface with Lynn Cadence?
Well, you can. The other place that I tend to be really quite active is LinkedIn. So if you looked up Lynn Cadence on LinkedIn, the advantage I have is that my name is unique. So it makes me quite easy to find. If you look up Lynn Cadence, you're likely to find me and my contact information quite easily. I have a website at cadencepr.ca. I'm active on LinkedIn. I'm active on Twitter as Lynn Cadence. Those tend to be my most active places. But I'm easy to find.
Yeah, and I think that's important. We have to walk our talk as communicators, and it's important that a lot of the things that you talked about here, I think you've given us some great insights, whether we're just emerging or we want to take our platforms to that next level, some powerful reminders and some good tips and tools. Final thoughts here in the last minute or so?
I think it's important to really have fun with it. And I'm a very shy communicator. I'm not the sort of PR person that traditionally got out in front of people and was the speaker. I've always been the behind-the-scenes person who writes the speech, who chooses the speakers, who gets people out there, who arranges media and interviews for them, and have been reluctant to put myself out there. But I have to remind myself, and those of you other introverts and shy people, remind yourself that it's about getting your ideas out there and helping other people develop their ideas and strategies. If you keep that in mind, it makes the job a little bit easier.
There's only one thing left for me to say, and that's Lynn Cadence, you are on the Dean's List. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Oh, thank you so much for sharing your time and your wisdom with us this morning. And that's where we're going to have to leave this one. Oh, a half an hour just flies by so quickly anymore. I'm Dean Latticer. You're listening to On the Dean's List, the podcast that celebrates the art of conversation. Truly looking forward to next week. Our scheduled guest is John Leslie Brown, the son of Les Brown, the motivator. He's got a new book out, and he's going to talk about that. And I am sure that that's going to be just 220 volts of electricity and dynamic energy here. Week after that, Jim McFarlane, writer for Detroit's Metro Times, former media critic for the Detroit News, freelance writer. He's going to share his thoughts and wisdom. And Jimmy and I just have too much fun. So tune in if you want to be the fly on the wall. A couple of media guys just hacking it out here. And we've got some other great guests in the pipeline, and we'll be making some updates on that. So until next time, it's been this time. Thanks for listening in. Thank you.